Welcome to the To Faithful Men podcast. This project started in 2006 to preserve old sermon and study tapes of Wiley Flanagan, Hassel Wallace, and Mike Strebel. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also."
The word "and" in most translations are changed to "then." Then I saw, or after that, see. I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Now, it's plain, regardless of the metaphors, regardless of the symbol in the message conveys the fact that the Son of God takes the beast and the false prophet and consigns them forever into the lake of fire. Now then, that's two of the three persons that's spoken of in the 13th chapter of Revelation. In chapter 20, the first verse, an angel comes down and binds the dragon, Satan, the devil himself, and binds him, but he doesn't put him into the lake of fire. He doesn't cast him in there with the false prophet and the beast, but he's bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the abyss, the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. Now you have the evil trinity. Just as there is the Trinity of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, there is an evil Trinity of the dragon, Satan, serpent, and the beast, and the false prophet. Now then, the beast and the false prophet has already been taken care of in verse 20. In chapter 20, Satan is bound for 1,000 years, all right? How are you going to, Satan is a spirit, to tell us? Well, he is. Spirit being. Well, how is a log chain going to hold him? All right? I don't care if it's a log chain or if it's a paper chain made out of paper, like we used to make at school and paste them together, you know? All right? If God put that paper chain on Satan, that would hold him. See? So whatever it is, it's a rendering Satan, the dragon, ineffective against the deception of the nations. Well, now that shows you that all of the nations are not destroyed, see. The whole earth hasn't been annihilated. There's still people upon the earth. But they cast him in, they put him in the bottomless pit, they shut him up, set a seal upon him. And brother, you know, when Jesus was put in the tomb and they put a seal, put a stone over that tomb, and then they sealed it with the Roman seal. But the Lord, you know, just that thing, the angel came and just rolled that thing away. And he came out of there. Well, he didn't have to have the angel to do it. The Lord wasn't helpless. But it shows you that God uses angels to do his, to perform his mission, his work. Here, the amens, they make light of this. You mean to tell me that an angel could bind Satan? He doesn't have, they tell you that Satan don't have that much power. Well, brother, when God sends an angel to do something, why, that angel has got just as much power as God Almighty as far as that mission is concerned. If he sends a mission, sends the angel to bind him, he can bind him because God's doing it through the angel. So, it doesn't bother me because he's called an angel, you know. Some people tell you that this angel in verse 1 is the Lord Jesus. But, it doesn't matter. It says an angel. And I can't, because it doesn't describe him as the Son of God, so I take it that it's an angel, but through the power of God. Alright. Verse 3 tells us that Satan is bound, tells us where he's bound, tells us how long he's going to be bound. It tells us that there's going to be a pardon, a reprieve, a little mercy yet shown, a mission yet to be accomplished in God's plans, and that Satan is going to come out of the bottomless pit. That he will not always, will not always be there. Alright, and because it says after that, after the 1,000 years, that's how long you'll be there, after that, he must be loosed a little season. Now then, beginning with verse 4, 1 Corinthians 6:2 and Matthew 19:28, Daniel 7:9, and verse 22 and verse 27, and Revelation 2:24-25, and Revelation 3:21, and Revelation 5:9-10, and 1 Thessalonians 4:17, and 2 Timothy 2:12, should be studied, or at least should be aware of the content of those verses as we study this. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. And judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, verse 4, of course, is a great bone of contention. We come to the millennium. We come to the 1,000-year reign. John says, I saw thrones, and they, that is, people, sat upon them. Doesn't say anything about a resurrection, does it? He says, I saw thrones, and people, are they, whoever they were, sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. All right, that's one group of people. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. That's two people, isn't it? That's two categories. That's two classifications. That's two kinds. Now notice, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they, not all three groups, but the two last groups, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Who? Those that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. Now that means all from Adam, Old Testament days, up to the tribulation period. Now, the second group, he specifies, he talks about them, he describes them, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. Now he's talking about those that were beheaded during the tribulation period. So you've got two groups that were beheaded or martyred because of the testimony and their faithfulness, their loyalty to the Word of God. Now, that include Justin Martyr and all of these that you read about in history. This first group. But now, this second group, you couldn't put Justin Martyr in the refusing to worship the beast, you see. Well, now, that man was certainly a beast-like in character. As far as Justin Martyr was concerned, to him, no doubt that he was the final beast. He was that Antichrist. He was Satan all rolled into one, see? But you've got three classifications of people, three groups of people. I saw thrones, all right? Evidently, they were empty when he first saw them. And then he says, and they, people, sat upon them. Not angels, but people sat upon them. And then, and judgment was given unto them. Now, that's the verses that I referred to, tells you about, that gives you the promises of God about reigning with Christ. All right, let's just take the two verses here in Revelation itself. With reference to the church at Thyatira, God promised, says, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. Verse 26 says, he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. All right, chapter 3, verse 21 says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Now, there are two promises given to the churches that they would reign with Christ, or they would reign over the nations. All right, let's look at chapter 5, verse 9 and verse 10. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? All right, now here is the voice of the martyred. And we have the martyred reigning with Christ in this verse, in Revelation 24. All right, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 2 Timothy 2:12. We ought to read that. I think that's the one that verses we need right here. Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Now, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. And he says to them, see, he's he's reminding them about going to law against one another and going, bringing a child of God before a court that knows nothing of Christ or righteousness or of God, see. And then he says, do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you. Well, now, when are you going to judge the world? You can judge. You can sit back and bemean or becry or moan or of decisions, or you can make a ruling in your own mind, but it won't affect it. You can say what you want about murder and about the laws that are committed every day, and if we had the power, well, sometimes we'd like to twist somebody's nose, you know, make them do right. But we're going to do that one day. Know ye not that the saints are going to judge the world? Not judge the saints. It's not children of God sitting in judgment on other saints. It's the saints are going to judge. Well, when's that going to be? When Revelation 24 takes place. Not before. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2:12, if I'm not mistaken, is a verse similar. It pertains to part of this anyway. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Now, certainly that verse can be applicable to present existence. If we suffer, we will reign with him. But now, it doesn't mean that you're going to reign in the sense of Revelation 20. The only time that reign that this will be really fulfilled is when Revelation 24 occurs, when the Lord comes back. People that say that, well, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Well, now, if we deny him in this world, in this age, certainly the Lord may, in judgment, withhold from his people, his children, certain blessings, and he may inflict chastisement as well. But that's not what he's talking about here. If we deny him, he will deny us when? At his coming. In other words, we're getting to the point that when he comes, there's some going to be ashamed at his coming. See? And that's where the faithfulness is all coming in. Now then, what I want to point out is that in verse 4, you have the rapture. You have a resurrection and the rapture. You've got the resurrection of the righteous dead here. Two groups. See? Now then, in this second group, there are martyrs and then those that were just faithful to the Lord. See? And then in this third group, you only have martyrs. But in the first group, you have many thrones seen, and then you see the thrones occupied, and they sat upon them. All right, now, who are they? They are the raptured. They're the 1 Thessalonians 4. The dead in Christ. See? But when he comes, what is it? See, that now then that's going to take place. But now the living are going to be changed in a moment and twinkling an eye. See, they set upon these stones. They don't. They were not resurrected. Yet the other two groups take in all of the dead in Christ and the martyred dead during the tribulation period, just before His coming. The time that were slain from Revelation 4 through Revelation 18. There's in that third group. Now then it says, it describes them by saying that they didn't receive the mark, you see, and neither had received His mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, see. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, if that's not the expression, they lived and reigned with Christ. Now, the Amens tells us that this reign is going on now. That whenever when you cut a man's head off, he began to reign in heaven. And that reign, regardless of whether you died normally, naturally, that your spirit goes to heaven and you start reigning with God. And that period between the time that you died from the time of Christ until He comes again constitutes that 1,000 years. See, it's a reign of our spirits, a reign of our souls with Christ in heaven. But there's no passage in the Bible that tells us of that. They get it from, and they have to form that from this passage. They lived means they came to life. Their bodies, the resurrected bodies, they're living, the beheaded, see. They lived and reigned with Christ. Alright, now the next verse tells you, but the rest of the dead lived not again. Rest of the dead, they didn't come to life.
Thank you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe and share with a friend. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.